The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
In Luke 18, verse 1, the Lord said, "Men ought to always pray and not to faint." The old King James says not faint or give up or lose heart. Well, if we should always pray, then here at Exploring the Word, we're going to do that. And in fact, we are so excited, folks. I welcome you to the program. My name is Alex McFarland. With me is Bert Harper. We're in the studios of AFR. But we're pretty excited about prayer because this is a big week for prayer, isn't it, Bert?
We're going to go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we're meeting, hopefully, with thousands of individuals who will be there. And we're going to seek heaven's gates and ask God to bombard his blessings upon our country as we turn away from our wicked ways. Amen?
That's right.
And humble ourselves and pray.
Well, you know, folks, we've done things all around the country, different events. And a long, long time ago, I had Fayetteville on my heart. And I begin to pray, and we begin to reach out to Fayetteville. I know we have a lot of great AFR listeners there. There are a lot of great churches and Christian leaders there. And with us on the phone right now is a man that we have had the privilege of getting to know because what was on our heart that we just felt led to go to Fayetteville and hold a prayer rally. Well, in Fayetteville is an event called Heart and Soul, led by many churches, but really spearheaded by Covenant Love Church, Pastor Al Bryce. And Friday night, September 16th, that's just, you know, a couple of days away, this Friday, September 16th, 2016, Fayetteville Outdoors Festival Park, there's going to be music, there's going to be Judge Paul Newby of the North Carolina Supreme Court will be there, a lot of things, but it's free. But the best thing of all, you, friend, we urge you to come and link arms with us, join with thousands of people as we, with one heart, with a unified voice, we pray for America, and that's going to make a big difference, and we're excited. But with just the utmost in gratitude and excitement, we wanted you on Exploring the Word to meet the pastor who has just put everything behind it. He's had such a vision, and we're so grateful for him. His name is Pastor Al Bryce. And he's with us now. Welcome, my dear brother.
It is so great to be with you, Alex. And we are so excited about this coming Friday night. And we are seeing a lot of excitement that's being generated all over the city. And so we are ready to go.
Well, bless your heart. Well, Bert Harper and I are looking forward to come. And, you know, Pastor Al, just give us a little background about yourself and about the church and how Heart and Soul originally kind of came to be.
Well, we've been here in Fayetteville for 25 years. We actually are celebrating our 25th anniversary of the church, started in 1991, this month. And so we established the church on a foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and we established it on the love of God, you know, loving God, loving His Word, and loving people. And so as we established strong intercessory prayer here in our church, for our city, for our state, and for our nation constantly, and for basically, you know, for the whole world. We were in a position and a place that we were exactly what you see, what is talked about on American Family Radio so much, is what we see that's happening in our society and in our nation. And we're seeing such a decline of morals and such a decline of the power of God and the respect for the Lord and for His Word and for Christianity. So we were seeing things happen in schools, on the streets, in the marketplace. And we made a decision that, you know, we were going to begin to pray. And out of that prayer, the Lord had put on our hearts that he wanted us to come last year and come into Festival Park, which is a park that was built by the city not long ago, and to come in and just to worship over the city. And so we did that. We did that literally for 2 hours. And one of the most amazing things happened out of that. We got a report. We have a lot of policemen, a lot of law enforcement officers, along with military, inside of our church. But we got a report from the police department that the crime in our city, many aspects of crime, had gone down starting at the very month afterwards that we did that. We saw crime begin to diminish in our city.
Amen. Pastor, this is Bert Harper, and I am looking forward to meeting you and meeting all the people there in Fayetteville, North Carolina. It's one of the most important strategic cities in America. Alex and I have talked about it because of the military presence there, largest that we know of here in the United States, far as we know. And what an opportunity. And when I hear that report, I believe, I know how I reacted to that about when you said crime went down. It brought to my mind how desperate we are for God. The church is beginning to wake up to it, but the nation has not as yet. And so we're hoping this meeting that we'll have Friday night will just be the beginning of even crime going down further and souls coming into the kingdom. So, brother, you've got a lot of people all over America that's going to be praying for what God's doing in Fayetteville. And I'm excited about it. Looking forward to it, brother.
Amen. And, you know, Bert, one of the things that you just said is so important, and I believe that, you know, strategically, militarily, we are, Fort Bragg is a major installation. It is where much of the war against terrorism is orchestrated from. And what better place that the military does the physical aspects and we do the spiritual warfare that we have been called to. And you made a statement about, you know, this country awakening, and I believe the key to that is for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to awaken. You know,
Amen.
The Bible tells us to awaken to righteousness. And it, you know, it's so amazing. I tell pastors all the time, I said, you know, because everybody can sit around and complain, and I believe that frustration is a tool that is used to propel us into intercession. And I think that instead of us, you know, complaining, and we need to speak about it. I mean, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, we've got to have intercessory prayer. We've got to pray. You know, Jesus is the one who gave us the keys to the kingdom. He didn't give it to anybody else.
Amen.
He gave it to the church. And he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And then he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven.
That's right.
And then in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, even though, you know, the enemy uses flesh and blood. But yet at the same time, we've got to address the root cause of what we're seeing that's happening in the church. We're supposed to be the standard that God raises up when the enemy comes in like a flood. We should be raising up that standard of intercessory prayer. And when we do, that means that there is going to be a divine intervention of the power of God that would not have been there unless somebody interceded.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, everything you're saying, I'm just listening to you and Bert giving you a big amen. And folks, I want to give you again the info here. It's this Friday, September 16th, Fayetteville, North Carolina, downtown near the Veterans Memorial. There's Festival Park. It's free. It's outdoors. There's going to be music. There are going to be people there, dignitaries. Bert and I are going to be there. We're going to pray. And Pastor, we've only got about 4 minutes before we go to our first break, but I want you to pray for this upcoming weekend, for people all around the nation who will be traveling to Fayetteville, maybe some who want to come but can't, but they'll pray where they are. But Pastor, you just commit this weekend to prayer right now for us, if you would, please.
Amen. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you right now. Father, you said in the book of Isaiah and you said in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, that you literally look for an intercessor. You look for a person to stand in the gap on behalf of the land. And it said, which is very sad, Lord, that you found none. But, Father, you have found people. You have found us, Lord God. You have found many people that are listening to this radio station right now. You have found intercessors. You have found people, Father, that are pouring their hearts out and coming together to pray. And, Lord, as we come together this coming Friday night, as we begin to pray at 5 p.m., Lord, we're coming to beseech you. We're coming to beseech your mercy and your grace. We're coming, Father God, to ask you to heal our land, to move upon America once again, Lord God, that there would be reformation, there would be revival in your church. Father, we're just believing in Jesus' name that there is going to be a mighty, powerful move of your Spirit that is going to reach across the north, the south, the east, and the west of America, Father, and you're going to touch this land like it has never been touched before. We're believing you, Father, for a great outbreak of your Spirit. We're believing you, Father God, that we're going to see crime diminish. We believe that that which is evil, that which is not of truth, is going to be exposed in our land, Father God. And once again, that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse this land in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so, Father, as we come to lift this up, we just thank you that you're going to move powerfully in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that if we pray according to your will, we know that you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, we know we have the petitions that we ask. So, Lord, we're coming together from all over America to petition and to pray. And I thank you for American Family Radio. I thank you for Alex and Bert. I thank you for them hearing the message, Father God, and continuing to speak this message and allowing this to take place, Father, for it's all of us working together, coming together as one man to pray and to seek you. So we thank you already ahead of time by faith
yes.
that we're going to see a mighty move of your Spirit yes. in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Pastor, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, look, for your great staff and Kristen and all the people that are working, and I want to thank your mayor, Nat Robertson, for meeting with us last week and for just his vocal enthusiasm for the things of the Lord, and you, Pastor Bryce, and folks, everyone, this is next week. This is Heart and Soul. Bert and I are coming. And I know there are a couple of websites, but Pastor, is it heartandsoul.org? Is that the primary one?
Yes, it's Heart and Soul, or either covenantlovechurch.org or heartandsoul.org. And by the way, the mayor did call me and said that he's going to come and open it up at 5 o'clock.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
So, folks, we hope to see you there. And again, look, wherever you are, we are on the eve of an election. Oh, my goodness, and so much is at stake. I mean, we have talked about it. We could talk about it. But we, the church, we ought to be able to say to our culture, look, we are the body of Christ. We are praying. We have intercessors round the clock. And so our Lord is in control, and God is in control. But very much, I think it's in our hands, don't you, Bert,
it
what
is.
We do.
It is still, if my people, I put these together. Now, the Constitution is the Constitution, but I love it, we the people. But part of those people are if we, God's people, and we need to make a difference. And we can make a difference. We do vote, and we pray. Let me just share with you, voting is not enough.
That's right.
I mean, we want to get out the vote, but I am telling you, God puts a premium on people praying. Pastor, I want to share with you, I'm looking forward to meeting you and meeting all the people there in Fayetteville. And this is one Mississippi boy that's ready to go to North Carolina.
Well, we will receive you greatly. Pastor Bryce, thank you so much. And folks, we've got a break. Stay tuned because Exploring the Word will continue after this, and we'll get back into our study of the book of James. Get your Bible. We'll be back after just a moment.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian health care sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23.
That's 855-PSALM-23.
Shalom, this is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and I'm your host, Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein. Throughout the year, every week in synagogue, we read the Torah, or Bible, beginning with the first chapter of Genesis through the final chapter of Deuteronomy. In this week's Torah reading, Ki Tetzé, meaning when you go out, we read about the many laws that dictate a way of life. Laws that relate to everything from going out to war to taking eggs away from a mother bird. In particular, these laws refer to, quote, when you go out to war against your enemy, end quote. But in a broader sense, we can understand that all the laws mentioned in this portion and all biblical restrictions in general refer to when we go out, anywhere and everywhere. When we go out into the world, we take God with us. Our obedience doesn't stay at home. Our allegiance to God follows us to the workplace and requires our honesty. Our obedience to God follows us to the grocery store and demands that we treat others the way we would like to be treated. We're required to bring God with us and share His light wherever we go. Today, when we go out into the world, remember to bring God with us. See Him as an ever-present shadow right with us. Yet rather than seeing God's presence as restricting our behavior, recognize that we're far from limited. With God by our side, anything is possible.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments. Join us this year in following Rabbi Eckstein's teachings with our Holy Land Moments daily devotion. To sign up, visit holylandmoments.org. That's holylandmoments.org.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Favorite intro.
It's my favorite intro.
I love it too. I love the energy. Great words, great sound. Okay, this Friday night,
yes.
Fayetteville, we just got through interviewing Pastor Al Bryce, pastor of Covenant Love, and we're looking forward to it. Sounded like it started at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, Festival Park. It's going to be outdoors, and yes, pray for good weather.
And this Friday night.
Yeah, this week, September 16th. Wherever you are in the country, you've got time to make it to Fayetteville. You really do. And there's a lot of great lodging around there. I've preached in that city many times. There's all kind of hotels. And it's a great city for a lot of reasons, but we hope you'll be there with us this Friday night.
Okay, real quickly, we want to get to James, but you're still at Fairfield Presbyterian here in our area and around Tupelo.
You know, we had the best meeting last night, and I want to say a big shout out to Pastor Dan Rupert at Fairfield Presbyterian. The great people, just really sweet. And I'll be there tonight, Tuesday, and tomorrow, 7 p.m. And we've talked about when is Christ going to return. We talked about the culture and commemorating 9/11. And tonight we're going to talk about something. I won't give it all away, but my scripture is going to be Genesis 4:7 tonight.
Okay.
So hope to see you all at Fairfield. And Bert, where are you?
I'm in Boonville, Mississippi at Tuscumbia Baptist Church. And Pastor Ben Parman, I've been with him many times, and I'm enjoying being at Tuscumbia. We have shared with them all the things that last night was just a real, real special night. We talked about Jesus and Him involving us in His plans.
Wow.
Isn't that neat? We weren't just in His plans, but He involves us in His plans to reach the world. And that's exciting. That's an adventure. And so if you're up in that way, come out to Tuscumbia Baptist Church, 7 o'clock for us. Are you guys at 7
o'clock
at
as
Fairfield?
Well. Okay. That's right.
Well, we better get to James. This is Exploring the Word. Every once in a while, we do something different because we wanted you to hear from Pastor Bryce. But in James chapter 2, James continues to write, "My brethren," and again, he's writing to believers, "do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our glory, with partiality." Okay. Mm. Let's just talk about general partiality, because God says it is sin, okay? Partiality and treating someone. It's talking about if someone should come into your assembly, a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you'll pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in this good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here in my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?
Isn't that something?
Partiality. God, you know why God hates partiality so much?
Why?
It's a pride issue.
Well, it is.
Do you catch pride is a root of, man, pride's a root of so many things evil.
Well, you know, in the book of Proverbs, it says that the Proverbs were written to give us wisdom, to teach us the fear of the Lord, and it says to teach us equity. Now, equity is what things are really worth, the true value, the right things. And when we show partiality and we are a respecter of persons, we're not looking at the things that necessarily have the true worth and the true value. And it says we have become judges in our heart with evil thoughts. That's James 2, verse 4. Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. Man looks on the outward appearance, but where does God look?
He looks at the heart. What about Jesus paying attention about the widow that dropped in the mites? And he said, she'd given more than anybody.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
Now, who else knew that?
Nobody.
But Jesus does.
Yeah.
I want to tell you what I did one time. I was preaching through James. You know, we've talked about what I did. I tried to preach through books when I was pastoring expositorily as best I could. And we were preaching on this passage, and I came up with a bright idea to kind of act this out. So after the song service, I came to the pulpit, and I had it prearranged that one of our ushers would bring down this family, okay, and would ask people to get up so they could sit here. And he'd say, and I say, I'd ask him, what are you doing? And he said, oh, this is Dr. So-and-so, and he's visiting today, and I wanted him to have his place. Now, nobody else all, you know, they wondered what was going on. I put a little microphone on him so he wouldn't be completely loud, but you know, everybody could hear him. At that same time, from the side door in front, came in this lady dressed like a bag lady.
Yeah.
And she was over there. So here's the usher. He after he seats them, he looks over there and sees her, and he goes over there to get her. He said, let me show you where you can sit. And he escorts her back to the back. And that usher had some problems, because I'd read the scripture, and some folks still didn't get it, that it was a, you know, act out.
I tell you.
But it really promoted that. That's the way we may not make it that evident, but I'm telling you, it may come up evident in the people you visit. It may come up in the people that you listen. Let me suggest, you may want to know how much people give in your church when you're pastoring. I decided I would let others look at that, and then when it was time to say, do they need to be on the, you know, the finance team, or if they needed to serve as a deacon in ours, or it would be an elder because they did tithe, I would ask others. They probably do that, and so I did not want to know, because I'm afraid I would give in to partiality.
Do you know what?
I don't want to give it a chance.
I knew a man in a city, and he owned a string of funeral homes. And this was a very godly man. And he had been instrumental in, let me just say, he had done a lot for the gospel. In fact, we did a youth crusade once at the Greensboro Coliseum, and he gave $25,000. And this was almost 25 years ago, so that's a big donation. But he encouraged me. We went to lunch one time. He said, young man, if you become a pastor, I would urge you not to look at the giving records of your members.
I'd agree.
And he said, because you don't ever, you're a human, you can't help it. It's going to influence how you treat people. He said, so you don't want to know who's the big giver or who's not the big giver. Just let God handle it, and you treat everybody equally.
Amen.
Now, this was coming from, in this particular city, absolutely
an influential man,
the biggest giver in the city. And he was saying, pastors don't need to know who the big giver is. Isn't that something?
Amen.
But James tells us to not show partiality, and we need to treat everybody equally. Let me just remind you, every human you'll ever interact with, they're a person made in God's image. They're valuable in the eyes of God. They're a soul for whom Christ died. even the person that we, from a human standpoint, might think is lowly, they're of immeasurable value to God. And we should bear that in mind.
Verse 5 says, listen, my beloved brethren. He's kind of putting emphasis here, isn't he, Alex?
Yep.
He says, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Now, H-E-I-R-S, heirs. What does that mean? Inheritance is coming?
That's right. That's
of,
mean.
Of the kingdom? In other words, the pay may
they're
not
in the
be,
will.
Yeah, amen. I heard, the first time I heard this was a retired pastor. His name was Erastus Hall. He's going to build the
oh,
Lord.
What a great name.
Isn't that a great name? He was a great pastor. And he had retired and started attending the church where I first, my first church, Alex.
Right.
And he was down there and he was telling me some things. And his card said, I've retired. Retirement's, the pay wasn't much, but the retirement's out of this world.
Exactly.
And so we are heirs of the kingdom. That's pretty high. That's a pretty high honor, isn't it?
Let me comment on 5-7. You know, poverty does not equal piety, and wealth does not necessarily equal carnality. I've known some poor people that were heathens, and I've known some rich people that were incredibly godly. But generally, it says, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? You know, here in America, you've got to plead with people to come to Christ and beg people to come to Christ. And they might not even believe God exists. I've been in developing nations.
Makes a difference.
Third world country.
Yes.
And they believe in God.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't they? Did you ever go house to house visiting in some of those places?
Yeah.
You're talking about hospitality. They will bring out their, usually, let me share with you, the houses that in Nicaragua and Honduras, the ones I went, they'd bring out their plastic chairs. They have to sit them in the corner until neighbors or friends come in. And they come in, and you would dishonor them if you did not come in.
That's true.
They're receptive not only to you, but they're receptive to what you had to say.
Well, in verse 6 of James 2, it says, but you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you were called? Now, so look, what this is not saying, it's not saying that we're to disregard the well-to-do person or elevate unnecessarily the poor person. We need to treat people equally. Which
no partiality,
is no partiality,
but equality, right? That's
right. But don't be starstruck just because, I mean, if, you know, one of the Kardashians walked in, frankly, I wouldn't be starstruck. But we live in a culture of celebrity. We really do. And, you know, I always cringe, and I'm just going to show
go
my
ahead.
Hand here.
Go
American
ahead.
Idol, I-D-O-L. We're not to be idolaters. And I know it's a show where people sing and try to, you know, get their name out there. But we don't want to be idolaters. I never did like that name, American Idol, because we're not to have idols. But
I agree with you, brother.
It goes on. It says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture.
Now, what is the royal law? Listen to this. This is powerful.
Oh, this is beautiful. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
There, that's the royal law.
Isn't that something?
Is that not bringing out
to
the
my
need
knowledge
of this idea of relationships, Alex?
Yes.
How important are relationships here?
Man. Well, everything is based on relationships. Look, the universe, the way God made this world, is based on relationships. We serve a relational God. Now, to my knowledge, you correct me if I'm wrong on this, this is the only time that I know of in the Word of God that we see this phrase, the royal law.
It's the only one I know. We're a royal priesthood, but I've never... So the royal priesthood... Here, I was trying to develop a sermon, okay? You know I'm always doing that, right?
Yeah.
A royal priesthood should obey the royal law.
Wow.
Isn't that?
That's right.
That's the only place I know that it says this. I'm in the same agreement with you.
Well, I think there's a little bit of irony here. Now, folks, if we're honest, I ain't never loved anybody like I love myself.
Yeah.
And that's not right. I mean, there's a word for it. It's called narcissism. We're wrapped up in ourselves. But if you want
some people give into it completely. Others fight against it.
That's right.
That's the issue.
Exactly.
Issue is we do have it, but you've got Paul talked about him buffeting his body. I have to buffet my body for me not to be so narcissistic and selfish.
Well, you know, in the summer times they have sports camps, And a lot of times, I remember my nephew, he just was on cloud nine. Years ago, my little nephew Benjamin got to go to a basketball camp where his hero, Michael Jordan, made an appearance. And they had posters, Be Like Mike. And he's going to show you how he could shoot those three-pointers and everything. And I remember my nephew, he rode on that momentum for 2 years. He wanted to be like his basketball hero. So here's my point. Look, if you want to love your neighbor in the right way, if you want to fulfill the royal law, you're not really going to do it by just trying to focus on the neighbor. Love Jesus who loves your neighbor. If you want to be like, if you want to love your neighbor, try to be like Jesus who really does love your neighbor with perfect love already. Do you see what I'm saying?
It's amazing. Loving Jesus more will cause you to love your neighbor.
And let me tell you who got it right. John the Baptist. I must decrease. He must increase.
That's John 3:30, isn't it?
It is. Yep. Very good. You love Jesus, you emulate Christ, and you'll fulfill that royal law, and you'll be able to love those around you.
Let's get through verse 13 here before we go to break. It says, but if you show partiality, you commit sin.
Mm.
That's, can you interpret that?
If you, well, yeah.
Pretty
it's,
plain,
it's
isn't
a
it?
Sin to be a respecter of persons.
And you're convicted by the law as transgressors. It's, you know, see James adding to this severity yeah. of this sin. And he says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all.
Wow.
Now that reminds me of Ray Comfort, you know, when he's witnessing to someone and they'll think they're all right with God. And he'll say, have you ever taken a pen that wasn't yours? Have you ever lied?
Then,
if you're guilty of one, you're what?
He's pretty bold. Yeah, guilty of all. And he says, so if you've ever told one lie, well, so you're a liar. If you've ever, you know,
stolen a pen,
you're a thief, you know. So he really tries to help people understand how much they need a Savior. What I was going to say was, how many times have we, on the way to church, had an argument in the car, and our family members will snap? But we walk in the church house, we put on a big smile. Oh, well, hey, Pastor.
It happens usually a little quicker. It happens on the church parking lot.
Yeah.
The church parking lot is the, if we could keep it all over, we'd have people getting right all the time.
Oh, man.
You drive up on the church parking lot. Okay, y'all, okay, get that smile on, you know.
And put on a front.
A mask.
That's partiality.
Yeah, it is.
That is showing partiality. Man. And the Word of God says it's a sin.
Okay, verse 11, 12, and 13. It says, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Now,
that's right.
Want to come back to that, and I think that we'll spend most of the time there. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I could not get the law of liberty. When you think of the law, you think of restraint, but here it's the law of setting free.
Yes.
Jesus Christ can set a person free, can't they, Alex?
Well, that's right. That's right. And very sober here. Those of you who have ever said within yourself, I can't forgive. Or, you know, I forgive, but I can't forget. And you hold a carrot over somebody, maybe something that happened a long time ago. For judgment is without mercy to those who have shown no mercy. That's James 2:13. Just remember that. If you want to hold somebody's feet to the fire, it might be you that find yourself in that position someday down the road.
Do we need mercy?
We all do.
All do. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Alex and I want to hear from you today. We're waiting for your phone call right after the break.
Do you find it easy to focus on the evil around you? Our world is a dark place. Terrorism, political unrest, economic crisis, these things can easily capture our attention. Matthew Henry said, when God intends great mercy for his people, he first sets them a-praying. Indeed, the need for prayer is being realized by this generation now more than ever. We are seeing hundreds of pastors coming together throughout America to set aside entire days just to pray and fast for spiritual awakening. In Arkansas, 1,000 senior believers gather monthly to pray for revival. Through One Cry, over 16,000 people nationwide have committed to seek God through revival praying. Will you join us? This is Byron Paulus, CEO of Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to vote for candidates that stand for biblical principles and biblical moral values and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me. I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Welcome back. The number toll-free nationwide, 888-589-8840. We look forward to getting your calls and talking about your Bible questions. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and again, we do want to invite you this Friday, September 16, to join us in Fayetteville as we pray for America. Well, Bert, we're going to the phone bank, and where shall we go first?
Well, first of all, we got lines open, so if you want to get that number, you can. But now let's go to Mississippi and talk to Doug. Doug, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, brothers. How are you guys this afternoon?
Doing good today, brother.
Okay, I'm a fairly new student of Reformed theology, and this is something I've been kind of struggling with. If the Lord died for everyone, how does the atonement weigh against the ones that are going to be in hell?
Great question. Let me address that just a little bit, and let me give a little bit of a caveat here. Anybody that's a follower of Jesus, we love you. We're family. We're all rowing in the same direction. But within Christianity, there is a movement that has risen recently, Reformed theology. I mean, and this goes all the way back to the Reformation, really, in 1517. Throughout Europe, they were rediscovering the gospel, and you've got Luther in Germany, and you've got Menno Simons up in the Netherlands, and you've got John Calvin in Geneva, Switzerland. And without going into too much detail, there are some differences between what we would call non-Reformed theology. There's a Calvin, Arminian, a lot of different shades. And
some people call Arminian, they'll go, but Wesleyan.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, which is a form of Arminian.
Exactly. And if all these big labels kind of confuse you, don't worry about that. But let's get to the question. The heart of the question is, when Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood as the payment for our sin, the propitiation, the turning away of wrath, was he dying for the whole wide world, or was he dying just for those that would be called the elect? Now, I believe my position, and let me just say for what it's worth, this would be the position of Billy Graham and C.S. Lewis, and they're equally good, godly, well-intentioned people on both sides of this question. I do not believe in what's called limited atonement. Now, I know John MacArthur and John Piper would. And they're godly giants of the faith. And I've heard on the radio John MacArthur passionately argue for limited atonement, that Christ's blood was shed just for the elect. Now, what they'll say is a line of reasoning that really I don't think has biblical support, and that's why I get a little nervous when we rely more on human logic than on scriptural revelation. Not that revelation is not logical, but they'll say, well, the most precious blood in the universe, the most precious thing in the universe, the blood of Jesus, would have been wasted for those that would reject him. I don't think that follows at all. Look, Christ's atonement on the cross was the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. Now, just because some people are foolish enough and wicked enough to reject Jesus, in no way does that diminish what Christ did. Just like, and I've used this illustration, let's say you've got a sinking ship and you've got a lifeboat, and that lifeboat is worth $100,000, and it could hold everybody. Come on, everybody, get in the lifeboat. Some people say, you know, I'm going to try to swim to shore on my own. Well, if they're foolish enough to drown because they wouldn't get in the lifeboat, that doesn't mean the lifeboat was cheapened or worth less. That lifeboat was still worth $100,000. Some were wise enough to be rescued, and others were foolish enough to reject it. So those in hell that rejected Jesus and they chose to pay their own sin debt, and friend, here's the bottom line of life. You can pay your own sins, but that means separation from God in hell, Romans 6:23. Or you can accept that your sin debt has been paid.
Amen.
Christ on the cross. So Reformed theology, I reject. Now, where we agree, Reformed, non-Reformed, Calvin, Wesleyan, we agree. Christ is the one and only Son of God. Christ shed his blood to pay for our sin, rose from the dead. That is appropriated by repentance and faith. We turn from sin to Christ. We're all in agreement. And frankly, Bert, I got to say, at this juncture in history with the rise of Islam, the rise of militant atheism, look, hey, any friend of Jesus is a friend of mine.
You got it, Alex.
We don't have the luxury to separate over the minutiae, I don't think.
I do not. I felt this way when I was pastoring here in this town of Tupelo. And as I came to the radio and started working with many different denominations, okay?
Right.
You and I have that privilege. You're at a Presbyterian church this week. I'm at a Baptist church this week. It may be different the next go round, you know? If it's not going to matter in heaven.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I say this with emotion. I say it with every fiber of my being. If it does not matter in heaven, you better not make a big deal out of it down here.
That's right.
And I say that truthfully. If I get into heaven, if it's the partial atonement or the full, you know, whichever it was, if you've trusted Jesus, and I'm getting loud and proud, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, praise God, you're part of the called, you're part of the elect. Okay.
Do you know what? I got to say this. Some of the sweetest, most intense fellowship that I've ever had. We do a thing called Truth for a New Generation. You've spoken, Tim Wildman has spoken. But look, in the green room before going out on stage, and we've done three dozen of these. All right, there's Erwin Lutzer, who's Reformed, and Chuck Colson, who's Reformed. And you've got Norm Geisler, who's most certainly not Reformed. And you've got Josh McDowell and Lee Strobel that would witness to the bark on a tree. And, you know, Johnny Erickson and Ravi Zacharias and Gary Habermas, the expert on the resurrection. And I want to tell you, it's been our privilege over the years to gather on stages across America, the whole strata. But you know what? The passion and the zeal and the intense fellowship is because we've got Jesus in common. And where we all agree is that the tomb is empty, and Christ is coming, and life is short, and let's proclaim to the world that there is a name through which we find new life, and that's the name of Jesus.
Amen. Doug, thank you, brother. And I'm glad you're a student. Stay a student of the Bible. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm not saying anything. Don't become a student of Reformed theology, of Arminian theology. Do not do that. Stay a student of the Word of God. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit's the best teacher. It's better than Bert Harper and Alex McFarland. Better than anyone is the Holy Spirit. He can guide you. So, Doug, thank you, brother.
I'm going to say this. We'll go to the next call. Charles Spurgeon, who was a Calvinist. Spurgeon said, I'm an avowed Calvinist. That's what he said. And I love Spurgeon. He said, the funny thing, the more people I witness to, the more I bump into who turn out to have been elect. Amen. You see what I'm saying?
I had a professor, he says, well, there's an election. Satan has voted for you to be lost. God votes for you to be saved. Now, they're not equal. I agree with that. I don't want to hear that. But you decide that you cast the deciding ballot. And so,
choose Jesus.
Whatever theology you have, make sure personal accountability is a part of it.
That's right.
That personal accountability has got to be a part of it. Okay, thank you, Doug. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to talk to John. John, welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead, brother. Doing great today.
I just want to say I was a first-time caller, and I appreciate what y'all do. I listen to y'all every day.
Thank you, John.
Y'all just lift me up all the time.
Amen. And listen, that's what Alex and I desire to do. We want believers to be lifted up, and we want lost people to come to Christ. That's our prayer.
Amen to that. I was just wondering if I could have y'all pray for me and my wife. We're kind of going through some financial problems, and it's just kind of taking a toll on our relationship. And I was just wondering if I could have you, America, pray,
for us. You better believe it. This is a big Sunday school class, a Bible study group, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And part of a good Sunday school class and a Bible study group is praying for one another, isn't it?
It really is.
We want you to do what I've done. I've wrote John's name down, and he's a first-time caller, and I'm saying I'm going to pray for him, and I'm going to do that. And let me just share this. My wife and I do marriage conferences. We don't do the counseling. We had done that in the past. But I'm telling you, finances can cause and will be caused. In place of going different directions, come to Christ. Pray about everything. Make sure you communicate well. Keep your communication. Don't use the "you do it all the time," or don't use exaggerated statements by saying "you do it every time." Those just bring on more and more fussing. So let's pray for John.
All right, we're going to pray. And folks everywhere, join with us and intercede. Let's as I said, let's have each other's back. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up this precious couple, and they're going through a financial struggle, and many are, and many of us have. And Lord, I testify that you are faithful, and Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. So Lord, we ask that you would provide for them, and Lord, as they wait on you, Lord, help them to cleave to each other. Please do not let the stress of running a house and paying the bills, please don't let that stress diminish their love and their marriage. So draw this couple closer to each other, closer to you. Let them learn precious new deep lessons about how faithful you are. And Lord, for others listening, no doubt there are others who really understand what it means to be in want right now. So you be our provider, you be our source. And Lord, as we pray and as we look to you, as we wait on you, help us to grow in our obedience and our trust of you, in whose name we pray, dear Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and keep listening, and we will be praying. Let's go to New Mexico and talk to Josh. Josh, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Getting good.
I just have kind of a two-part question. First of all, listening to you guys' show made me just go home and just start reading my Bible from the beginning. And
Amen.
The one I have, someone gave me as a gift, and it's a paraphrased one. And it kind of differs from a lot of things I hear you guys talk about. I just wanted to get your opinion on a paraphrase, or do you think that's a good way to start? And also, it was a few months ago, I remember you talking about a lawyer named Greenwood, and I was trying to remember what book you said he wrote that made him come to Christ, if you could tell me what that book was.
Okay, let's go your first one first. There's three kind of levels of Bible that you can buy. You can buy a complete paraphrase.
Right.
You can buy a best as you can translation. And then you can get those that are kind of a combination. Those that are complete translations sometimes are wooden and hard. You know, they're very stout. The NIV and the ESV, mm-hmm. they're translations, but they do sometimes, some of these harsh words, they give the meaning of the thought of the word rather than the actual meaning. The NIV, ESV, I know if you get to some folks, the NIV. No, it's if you read it and read what it says at the notes, when it gives you notes, it'll have everything there. I have people say, oh, they've left verses out. And I said, did you look at the note underneath to see what it says other? So NIVs, I think it's better than a complete paraphrase myself, Alex. I'm cautious of complete paraphrase.
Yeah, and there's been like the Message, and there's been several paraphrases. The story is one.
We're not saying they're bad.
Yeah, they're not bad.
We're just saying.
A paraphrase is kind of a restatement and very, very, very simplified, which is fine. But remember, that which was given by the Holy Spirit and that which God has his hand on to touch your soul, equip your mind, and bless your heart is the real Word of God. So a good translation, the NIV is probably the most readable, accessible, a step up from that in its maybe a little bit technical would be maybe the New King James or the Holman Christian Standard. The King James is beautiful. It's quite beautiful. It's also got some words that we don't use over the past 400 years, you know, but the paraphrases
still good. We want to make sure we don't want to hear
paraphrases are fine, but
we love the King James Version.
We do. But read a good translation, not just a paraphrase.
Do you know anything about the Greenwood?
The apologist. I'm trying to think. I'm racking my brain. Now there was a guy Irwin Linton, who was a lawyer who argued in front of the Supreme Court, who became a Christian. There was John Morrison, who wrote the book Who Moved the Stone. There was Lou Wallace, an attorney, Jewish, who wrote Ben-Hur, and he became a born-again Christian. There's Lee Strobel, who went to Yale Law School.
I'm trying to think.
Maybe it'll come to me. Folks, okay. if you know a lawyer apologist who's last, the only G I can think of is Geisler, G-E-I-S-E-L-E.
If you know that, call in tomorrow and let us know, and we can pass it on. Let's try to get the last caller in. He's been waiting patiently, and that's Gerald from Texas. Gerald, we haven't got a lot of time, but go ahead, brother. Gerald, are you there? Okay, well.
Who's next?
Okay, Karen from Virginia. We haven't got a lot of time, but go ahead.
Oh, yes. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, what part of Virginia are you in?
Richmond.
I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks. I'll tell you tomorrow, but I'm going to be in Virginia in about a week, so tomorrow I'll let you know where that is.
Oh, goody. Okay. Real quick, I bowed my head and prayed for John and his wife. I've been there, but I want to encourage him that if they're clinging to what few dollars they have to give a tithe or an offering, God's promise of pressed down, shaken is for real. And like the woman who gave the mite, let a little bit go and watch. God bless you. It works. He's faithful in that promise, and I will continue to pray for them because, as I say, I've been there myself. So I just
God
wanted to
you.
Encourage them in that way.
This is what I call a good Sunday school class, when we encourage one another, isn't it, Alex?
Sister, Bert and I were just talking about this, how you give away what you need. If you need encouragement, be an encourager. If you need financial resources, give to God, sow into the lives of others.
Be responsible.
Yes.
I'll give this caveat. I'm not doubting what you said, but you can't just give. God owns it all, and you're responsible. Just give 10% and just send the other any way you want. That's not what the Word teaches. The Word says responsibility before all but the tithe of the Lord.
So we're going to continue in James again tomorrow. Know this, God is faithful. God is faithful. And we encourage you to trust Him, to tell people about Him. Humbly, we ask you to tell people about this show, but even more importantly than that, what, Bert?
We need to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.